tonight, please. Let's go to the book of 1 Peter and chapter number 5 in your Bibles. The book of 1 Peter and chapter number 5. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. I'm glad that I know the Lord. I'm glad the day came when, you know, when conviction settled in my heart and I was able to trust Christ. That was a great day, wonderful day. And, well, I'll never forget the conviction. Remember, you know, you're kind of under conviction when you get saved or before you get saved. And I was mowing a lawn the day before, and I held on to that lawnmower because I thought, really, I was under such conviction. I thought that thing would get out of hand and turn around and chop me up. You know, that's conviction of the Lord, but I'm glad for that now because it drew me to Christ and brought me close to the Lord. Well, let's begin here, verse number 4, 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to begin with verse number 4, and so follow along. We'll read the rest of the passage here. The Bible says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. The church that is in Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen." Let's pray tonight. God, we thank you for the Bible tonight. Thank you. We can come and hear it. And I pray you'd open our spiritual eyes and our spiritual minds, Lord, tonight as we listen to your word. Give us something, Lord, that we need tonight. And Lord, help us, I pray tonight, to hear the Holy Spirit and meet with us. Lord, I know some are tired and I know some are brokenhearted tonight and have some difficulties in their heart. We pray, Lord, that thy word would meet that need in each heart as we preach the word of God tonight. Lord, we love you and thank you we can be here. In Jesus' name, amen. My text is verse number 10. I want to read it again to you. It says, But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen you. Notice the Bible says that by the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, we go through sufferings, but those sufferings, what the Bible says is they make us perfect, they make us established, they strengthen us, and they settle us. And I want to preach on those thoughts tonight of what God's word does to us through the grace of God. Now, the Bible teaches here that, notice in the passage of Scripture, it says, but the God of all grace. Now, there's only one God of grace, of all grace. There's only one God of all grace. You know, it's not Muhammad. Muhammad's not the God of grace. Muhammad was a God of hostility and anger. And, you know, Christianity, somebody said, the difference between Christianity and all other these world religions is that the leader gave his life for the follower. Isn't that a blessing? That's a defining line between Christianity and all other ideas, all other false religions. The leader gave his life for the follower. And that's the grace of God. He's the God of all grace, and he has called us. Notice, he's called us. And Paul is, Peter here is not speaking just to called people. He's speaking to the whole church. He's saying God has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the one that calls us to him. Amen? Christ calls us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God wants our relationship to be a relationship of hearing. A relationship of hearing. In other words, when God calls, we should be ready to hear what he says. A relationship of hearing. I've seen that Norman Rockwell painting of the wife who's speaking to her husband. She's talking and he has the newspaper in front of him and he's got his pajamas on there, you know, and she's trying to speak to him and she gets exasperated and he's kind of lost in his newspaper. You know, that's the opposite of how Christians should be to God. We should be a Christian that's ready to listen, that's ready to hear. You know, God will speak to you at all times. God will speak to you when he preaches, his word is preached. You know, when we crack the Bible open, that book's alive. God is ready to speak. God is ready to say something. Someone once said, prayer is us talking to God. The word is God talking to us. And I believe it's right. And so God says, by the grace of God, call unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Now here's the bad part. Notice, after that ye suffered a while. Do you know, it's interesting here. Do you know that a Christian sometimes is called to suffer some for Jesus Christ? A Christian's called to suffer some for the Lord. We're called to go out of our way. We're called to be a person who does not just live for ourselves, but lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're called to suffer some things sometimes. Now, I don't like that part of Christianity. Amen? I certainly don't like that part. I got a lady called me one day. She was mad as a hornet. And I wouldn't name who it was because I might make a church member mad, but no, what? I'm kidding. It wasn't a church member. It was a lady that doesn't even go to our church. She called me up and she said, You put a track on one of these pieces of paper on my door. I said, and the crime is? I don't want one. I said, well, thank you, ma'am. Okay, whatever. And you know, it's funny. Every once in a while, I'll get a call like that. And somebody who doesn't want a gospel tract. You know, it's the person who doesn't want it that probably needed it the most. Yeah. They may not have liked it, but I thank God for the person who put it there. Because they needed it. But what does God's word say here tonight? And I want you to look at these things, four things that God wants to do in every one of our lives. Here's the first thing. The Bible says he wants to make you perfect. He wants to make you perfect. Now, the word perfect does not mean perfection on this earth like we know it. Because nobody is perfect on this earth. Perfection is spiritual maturity. It's where you grow past the world of looking at yourself and you start putting your heart and mind on others. That's one of the key things about maturity is you realize that living for self is so empty, but living for God is where real value and joy in life is. Oh, listen, I'm going to tell you, there's people all over this world that are living for self. They're living in the world of their own desires And they're hoping to find joy. They're hoping to find something good. And hear me, they never find it. It never comes true. The devil writes hot checks. The devil never pays off in what he promises. But God does. God says, hey, listen, I want to make you mature. I want to grow you up in the Lord. Amen? You ever seen a baby? You ever been around a baby? I was one once, they told me. And you get around a baby, you know what that baby thinks about? Himself. Himself. You know, that's common characteristics in babies. You know what God's teaching us as Christians? We got to grow in the Lord, get past being a baby. You know, I understand we have legitimate hurts and heartaches in life. But you know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about sometimes we let little petty things get under our skin. It's quiet. Amen. I better say it again. Amen. We let little petty things get under our skin sometimes. Amen. That's why we don't decide. We don't vote on the color of the toilet paper in the bathroom. You know, because people get caught up in all the petty little things. And that's not what God's called us to. God's called us to be mature, to grow past the little petty things. You know, I think sometimes marriages have trouble because petty things enter in. I push the toothpaste up from the bottom, but she pushes it from the top. And everybody knows you're supposed to push it from the bottom. And if you don't push it from the bottom instead of the top, do you know what? I'm just going to raise a hair-raising fit. Right? Come on now. Can I tell you, God wants us to get past petty little things. But that person didn't say hi to me. I drove right past that person. They didn't even wave. Maybe they didn't see you. Maybe they were having their own little pity party that day. I don't know. Hear me. God's trying to teach us to grow up, be mature. You know, somebody ever comes in and takes your place in church, the seat where you normally sit, your comfort zone, and you walk in and there's a visitor in your seat, you know what you ought to do? You ought to say, praise God, there's a visitor here. Amen? Oh, man. You know, we can get caught up on little things. I was in Walmart, going to Walmart, and I was going this way, and I looked over to my left to find a parking spot. And I saw one. It was the second one. And the row I was in had to go down almost all the way to Tennessee to find a parking lot on this, where I was at. I said, I'm going to go all the way down, go around. I'm going to get that parking spot on number two. So I went down, turned around. By the time I got there, someone had come the wrong direction. And they backed in because they were going the wrong direction. I wasn't in the church van, no. Thank God I wasn't in the church. You know what? Does it really matter? My doctor told me to do some extra walking anyway. right? You know, can I tell you what? It's funny. It's funny. You know, I've known people that leave a church because of little things. And you know what? They go to the next church and realize it's not perfect either. And they see the little things there. And you know what happens? The devil uses it to get them out of church completely. You know what that is? That's immaturity. God's trying to make us perfect. God's trying to just teach us to grow to the point where we can't get ruffled that easy. Amen? God doesn't want that for us. And it's easy to do. Now, you expect that from a child, right? You expect that from a baby. I'll never forget my nephew. We were having Christmas one day. My nephew, he's about 4 years old, and finally got to open a present. And they gave him a present. He was so excited. He ripped it open, and guess what it was? Socks. He took the socks and threw them across the room. You got to know my sister. My sister has a temper problem. And she happened to take it out on his bottom that day. He got a Christmas spanking. Man. You know, I tell you, Christian, just keep the right spirit about everything in your life. And I'm not just talking about a church. I'm talking about in your home life. In your home life. Don't let the little things get you. Just let God make you more mature. You know, I love those kind of people in the church that everybody says, boy, they're always a blessing to me. They're always an encouragement to me. They always help me. You know what has happened to that person? They look past their own imperfections. Or they look past their own desires and their own thoughts of themselves, and they look on somebody else. That's called maturity. 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 Turn my world into God's world. I become mature. Put my in other people's shoes. I become mature. I delight in God even when my heart is broken. I'm growing in the Lord. I'm mature. I'm doing a job well, even without supervision. You know what that's called? That's called maturity. And you know the God of all grace. And by the way, grace is the key to these things. He's the God of all grace. It doesn't say that haphazardly. We need to have that grace of God in our heart. Amen? When that car backed in backwards at Walmart, I didn't have a lot of grace in my heart. I should have. So the God of all grace is the key. Now notice the second word he says. He says, make you perfect and establish you. Now, God wants his people established. Take your Bible, go to Psalm chapter 40 with me. Real quickly, Psalm chapter 40. I want to show you a few verses about being established. Psalm chapter 40, look at verse number 2. Psalm 40, verse number 2. He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and did what? Established my goings. Hey, when you get saved, God wants to do a work of establishing in you after you get saved. I mean, when you get saved, you got washed in the blood of Jesus. Thank God for that. But you're not established yet. But God gives you the foundation to grow and to become established in the Lord. You know, I would say that Mrs. Stallman is probably pretty established in this church. Would you say that? Amen. I'd say she's pretty established here. I'd say she's established there. I don't think she's going to go anywhere, to be honest with you. And we're not going to let her anyway. Yeah. But it's a wonderful thing. She's been blessed in her life because she put down roots somewhere. And she said, I'm staying. And the road was sometimes bumpy, wasn't it? There were some bumpy roads. But let me tell you something. God wants you to be established in Him. And just, you got roots down. You know, it's like the mighty oak endures the wind, but it just still stands. It continues on. And you know, when you're in the Word of God, God wants to just get you to put roots down and say, I'm established. I'm staying. I'm sticking it out. I'm in God. I'm not the best Christian, but if He'll take me, I'm sticking with Him. Amen? Established. Established. God wants to establish. Go to Isaiah 54. Isaiah chapter 54. I know you're tired on Wednesday and don't want to have to turn to Scripture. Amen. Isaiah 54. Look at verse number 14. Isaiah 54, verse 14. In righteousness shalt thou be, what? Established. For thou shalt be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come nigh thee. You know, when you're established, you're going to be far from oppression. You're going to be far from oppression. And you won't live in fear. You won't live in terror. I see many Christians are just not established. They're not settled. I'm not mad at them, but I feel for them because they have the God of all grace who can establish them in their heart if they're saved. But yet they're living a rope. And you know, God doesn't want that. God wants you to be settled. And we find that ability in our closeness with the righteousness of God. We can be established. We can be settled. There's no need for a Christian to have to live that up and down turmoil life. We live that way because we choose to live an unestablished life. But, hey, you know, this may surprise you, but I know preachers that it's sometimes hard for them to get up and preach. I talked to a preacher just this week who's going through a storm in his church. It's a storm. And, you know, he just stay strength. When you're established, you can go through about anything. Really. And so what we ought to do, instead of getting shaken up, is say, Lord, just help me to settle in You. Just help me to trust You. Help me to trust in that God. Help me to listen to that still, small voice. When you're not established, it's hard to listen to that still, small voice. But that's the work that God desires to do in us. Are you established? Are you established? Do you shake when the storms come? Or do you just keep your focus on God? When you don't know what to do, do you hold on to the hand of the one who does know what to do? When you think that you can't go on, do you just keep putting another foot forward? That's called being established. That's called being established. You know, I read in the Bible, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he was beaten 3 times. He was shipwrecked on an island. He was distressed. He was pressed out of measure. He was hungry. How many times? But yet he didn't give up on the Lord. You know why? Because he got established. You know, Peter wasn't always established in his life because remember those times when he denied the Lord? Remember those times when he said, "Who's that, Jesus? I never knew you." And he's warming his hands by the fire. Remember that? He wasn't always established. But you know, Jesus said, and that verse teaches us that sometimes through our problems, we get established. It helps us to be established. After some affliction, after some trouble, God says, "I'll establish you." Take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. This is the parable of the sower and the seed. The parable of the sower and the seed. We're going the wrong way. Matthew chapter 13, verse 4. Matthew 13, look at verse 4. verse 3. "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and ate them up." Look at verse 5. "Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up," notice, "because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root. They withered away." And you know, I'll tell you something. God doesn't want us to wither away. He wants us to be full of the joy of the Lord. He wants us to be so established that we know our God will carry us through anything. He will. He will. And our God will. And that's his promise. And you know, but a lot of Christians, they don't get deep. What if that seed had a chance to get deep in the ground and grow? It wouldn't have withered away. And we wither away, dry up inside. Now I'm talking about in our inside. Because we're not established yet. You know, God just wants to get us established. There was a dear lady when I was growing up, Mrs. Stenzel. Mrs. Stenzel was she was a dear saint of God, faithful lady. She was there at church. I mean, when the doors were open, she's at church. But as she got older, she got a little crotchety. I mean, she got grumpy. And I said, "How you doing today, Mrs. Stenzel?" Her name was Miss Stenzel, but we called her Mrs. Stenz for short, you know. Affectionate, we thought. I said, "How are you doing, Mrs. Stenz?" "My name is Miss Stenzel." "Oh, okay. How are you doing, Miss Stenzel?" "I'm doing fine." She kind of got grumpy. But you know what? Mrs. Stenzel was a cook. She's a single lady. She was a cook on the Indian Navajo Reservation for over 30 years. She cooked for the Indians for years. She showed me one time back in the past, they used to do, if you were faithful to Sunday school, every Sunday you got a bar. Any of you remember that? You got a bar or a pen or something like that? Mrs. Stenzel came one time, and if you did, and the next year, if you were faithful, you could attach the second bar to the first bar. And Miss Stenzel came to church one time. She held this thing up. She had 57 bars. 57 bars. Now, I didn't understand how big that was when I was a kid, but I'll tell you what, she may have been a little grumpy, but she was established. Amen? And see, God is trying to get you to ride out the waves. God's just trying to make smooth your paths and make them better for the Lord. And don't get so off kilter and so upset. Just established. Established. That brings joy to the Christian. It brings the joy of God to your soul. Established. Are you established? Well, there's a third word I want you to see. Go back, if you would, to 2 Peter, please. Go back. I'm sorry, 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5, verse 10. Notice again. But after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish. What's the next word? Strengthen. Strengthen you. It is not God's will that a Christian give in to temptation. It is not God's will. If you give in to temptation, it is because you are not strong. And the command is, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Don't cower to the devil. Don't listen to the devil. This is part of what a Christian should be. We're supposed to be strong in the Lord. Some temptation comes along and whispers in your ear, and you act like silly putty. It just, whatever the devil says, some Christians just kind of collapse. Okay, well, that's my weak point. Let me tell you something. There's a problem in your Christian life if you're like that. God said, be strong in the Lord. And notice three things about that power. Number one, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. God said we're supposed to be seeking His power, living God's power in our life. I think we live in our own power all too often. I think we live in our own self, our own power, and then we fall flat on our face. You know, God's trying to teach us, if we're going to be strong in the Lord, we need His might. We need His power. You do without the Bible. You put your Bible on the coffee table, let it get dry, let it get dusty. I like what one man said. He said, don't think the Bible's dry on the inside because it's dusty on the outside. But you leave your Bible, sit there, and you don't get in your word, or you're not listening to any sermons, or you're just missing church. I got news for you. You're going to be weak. And when you're weak, the devil's going to whisper in your ear, and you're going to fall like silly putty. And oh, listen, God doesn't want that for you, and all the hurt and the heartache that comes along with that. You don't want to be a part of that. So God wants us to be strong in the Lord. Secondly, you got to put on His armor. You got to put some armor on, right? Put on the whole armor of God. Breastplate of righteousness. Helmet of salvation. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We got to put it all on. Put that sword of the Spirit on. God wants you to be strong. Hey, there is a live devil out there. He's seeking whom he may devour. God says, you got to be strong. You got to be strong, but not in your own power. In the power of His might. Get with God. Spend time with God. Get close to God, Christian. You know why we don't get close to God? Because there's something else in our heart that's taken that place. There's something there that we need to push out and give to God so that there's room for God to be there. Because God wants us strong. There was an Indian who tells about a brave. He found an eagle's egg. And he put it into the nest of a prairie chicken. And the eaglet hatched with the brood of other chicks, and he grew up with all those chicks. and all his life, the changeling eagle, thinking he was a prairie chicken, did what the prairie chickens did. He scratched in the dirt for seeds and insects. He clucked, he cackled, and in a few brief thrashings of wings and flurry of feathers, no more than a few feet off the ground. After all, that's how prairie chickens were supposed to fly. Years passed, and the changeling Ingold, he grew old. And one day he saw this magnificent bird far above him in the sky. He was hanging up there with graceful majesty on the wind currents. He soared and with scarcely a beat of his strong golden wings. "What a beautiful bird," said the little eagle to his neighbor. "What is it?" "That's an eagle," said the chief of birds. The neighbor clucked. "But don't give it a second thought. You could never be like him." So the changeling eagle never gave it another thought. And he lived the rest of his life thinking he was a prairie chicken. But when you get saved, you're not the old man anymore. God wants you to live in the power of his might and in his strength. God wants you to walk in him. You need to be perfect, established, and strong. Strength. How do we get strong? We turn convenience into conviction. We turn feeling into faith. We turn bitterness into forgiveness. We turn upheaval into stillness. We turn our attitude into delight. We turn a heartache into purpose. We turn criticism into cooperation. We turn anger into contentment. We turn pride into compassion. We turn excuses into dedication. We turn running into willingness. We put self, we put the Savior before ourself. We put gratitude before our complaints. And we put duty before our pleasure. God wants us to be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Well, that brings us to the last word I want you to notice. He said, settle you. Settle you. That word, settle you, is a word that means in Christ, you become at a joyful, peaceful spot in your life. The storms may be raging around you, but when you are settled, you are settled inside. It is an internal peace that only God can give, that can give you a perfection, a joy, and a settling no matter what you have and go through in life. We're all going to go through it. Sooner or later, God's got something designed for you. You say, how do you know? Because he said those things come after you suffer a little bit. So God's saying, hey, I just want to get you settled. I just want to get you settled. Boy, it's a good thing to be settled, isn't it? I like being settled. Amen. When my grandkids come over, it's like a tornado came. Yeah. Amen. And they get together, and all 12 of them, well, there's 13 now. And pray for that poor child. He's got six old loud siblings. Amen. They just get used to, I don't know how they do it when they're babies, but they just hum right along. Amen. But when they get together, man, everything's up. They jump on pops, you know. They do crazy things, and they always want something, and I'm there to freely give it away. Amen. They always want something. And Nana keeps ice cream bars in the freezer for the grandkids. Amen. It's wonderful. You just sugar them up, and then when their mom comes, you give them back to their mother. Amen. But you know what? It's kind of nice when they all get tired. And all God's people said, it's nice when they all get tired. And one by one, sleepyheads knock out. And mom can finally sit down in that chair and let all of the day's stress out for until the next cry. Amen. But, you know, it's nice to be settled. You know what? I want to tell you something, Christian. There's no need for us to live that unsettled life. The Lord provides a settling power in our life. And I don't know all about it, but I know it's there. And I know God can give it to us. And when you think that things are not understandable, there's a God who will take care of it. Amen. Someone once said this, I'll close with this. Lord, do in me what you need to do so you can do through me what you have to do. Lord, do in me what you need to do so that you can do through me what you have to do. Oh, that's what God wants us to be. Perfect, established, strengthened, and settled. Are you those tonight? Are you those tonight? Let's ask God to give us those things. Let's bow our heads tonight.